And she answered, I am Ruth, your maid. So spread your covering over your maid, for you are a close relative. So the literal word there is, again, redeemer. That is, you are somebody. That's what I want to explain. What is going on here? For those of us Christians today, you wonder what is wrong with this young woman. What kind of thing is this? In fact, as a woman says, did they beg? Did they beg for this kind of thing? But let me just, for those who do not know, let me give you the background to it. In fact, before I give you the background, let me just show, let's continue reading again. Please, you will see my reason, because I just want to say something here. You see something that happened. Verse 10. Then he said, that is, Boaz replied, may you be blessed of the Lord, my daughter. You have shown your last kindness to be better than the first. Let me just stop there. That is what she did. I wanted to get us into the perspective, all right? What she did was so honorable at that time that Boaz said, this is even better than leaving your father's house and coming down to Israel. I don't know whether you get my point. So you must understand that this was very honorable. Now, let me give you the background. The background is simple. The way the Lord arranged the land of Israel, the people of Israel, they shared out the land. They had boundaries. Now, these people were from the tribe of Judah. You can easily know because of David, all right? They were from the tribe of Judah. And the land given to Judah, according to the law of God, had to belong to Judah forever. That is, until, as long as that Israel exists, all right? It has to belong to Judah. If you sold it to somebody from Reuben, like you sold, the land will come back to you automatically in the year of redemption. They had this factory reset, master reset they did for the equipment called Israel. Every 50 years, they pressed a button and they restored default settings. You use a phone, an iPad, a computer, any electronic gadget has it. You press a button or you go somewhere, click yes, type in a keyword, and click yes. It takes it back to the way Samsung made it, or Apple made it, or Dell made it. And that's how God did it with them too. You could sell your land, anybody could buy it. But that land had to come back to your family once is the year of Jubilee. It was a year in which every debt was forgiven. You are allowed to start afresh. In fact, God had to command them because this is the way it is. Assuming now, Rocket needs money. He comes to me and says, lend me some money. How much? 15 million. How are you planning to pay? The Lord is good. I don't calculate that between now and 2 years' time, the debt will not be fully paid. And 2 years' time is the year of Jubilee. I say, you know, my money is tied down right now. God commanded against it that you must not harden your heart against your brother. If you discover that in lending him money, you'll be lending him close to the year of Jubilee. Because once the year of Jubilee arrives, he won't pay you back again. So if you want to lend somebody money that time, you go wait after the year of Jubilee and say, hey, I have 49 years to recover my money. Now, you're following the point I'm trying to make. That's the way it was. Now, as part of their law, I just want to, for those who do not know, I don't know why God did like that, or we don't have time to be analyzing it. The fact is that Judah had to remain Judah, and Reuben was not allowed to break into it. Every 40 years, they restored the land back to Judah. Now, you know, for those of you who are following business news, you know that recently, Econet Wireless International won their court case after 8 years against Vodacom V-Mobile Nigeria, what is now Bharti Airtel in Nigeria. After 8 years, they won their case against it. Now, there's a point. I don't want to bring us an issue. What's the case? They owned 5% of Econet Wireless Nigeria. And they were not given what was called the right of first refusal when they wanted to sell the company. The idea is this. If you own shares, you see what they call rights issue. If they want to expand the capitalization of a company, they have to first do a rights issue. The reason is that they must not recklessly dilute the portion of those who are already shareholders. So they gave you the option to buy first before they allow the rest of the population to buy. In Israel, it was like that also. In Econet, of course, they sold the company to Vodacom. It didn't work. They created View. Anyway, make a long story short, those guys said, we had the right of first refusal. That is, because we own 5%, and they had money. They had about $450 million they wanted to put in. And that would have given them 33% of the company. The Nigerians said no. They were Zimbabweans, all right, based in South Africa. The Nigerians said no. So the whole thing scattered. So the guys went to court. They've won the case in Nigeria and internationally. All right? It's a serious matter. All right? But this just by the way, for those who don't understand, what is going on is that they were supposed to be offered the sale first. You're supposed to make it open to those who owned part of the existing company. Now, in Israel, that's how God did it also. If you had to sell your land, you had to offer it to a close relative first. The reason is so as to preserve the default factory setting of the sharing of the land in Israel. So that if you are from Judah, a man in Judah should buy your land. They don't want a man from Reuben buying it. More importantly, before a man from Judah, your brother should get an offer on that land. If you don't have a brother or a sister that can buy it, you offer your cousin. The idea is keep it inside that family because it had been shared out like that. For example, if God gave an inheritance to Caleb, he expected it to be Caleb's own as long as Israel lived. You are getting the concept. Now, in the same manner, names were important. So, if a man married and did not have a child, all right, to carry on the name of the family, after he died, and funny enough, I found out that they actually did it also in Africa. The idea was that his brother should have, he will marry that wife, not because he wanted an extra wife, but so that he could have children, and the children will bear the name of the dead brother. So the genealogies in the Bible, they are not as straightforward as people think. Sometimes they say that when you see 10 generations, there are generations sometimes you don't understand how they arrived. Some seem to jump. But there's a way it is. The concept is very, well, God knows how knew what he was doing. But the point is simple. Eh? If a man didn't have a child, his brother is supposed to have a child for him. That was the concept. Therefore, now listen, just like today, some young wives that time also. So, I'm not a widow. That uncle. Hey, God forbid bad thing. Just like you are thinking. That's what they were also thinking. It took a lot of discipline. Boaz was not a child. I hope you know that. Boaz was nothing close to Ruth in age. More advanced than her. Boaz had senior children who were probably Ruth's age. Or older. So for Ruth, who was a young woman, not to have sought after a darling, you know, somebody who, you know, can tell me, darling, can come in here on the shoe again. I can. To forsake her personal preferences and stick with a tradition that was ordained by God. Listen, Boaz had not seen it in a long time. Are you following what I'm saying? Boaz had not seen it in a long time. He was used to all the young widows getting young husbands, disregarding the name of the husband. Are you getting my point? That's the former husband. Not caring whether the name perished or did not. This was a girl from Moab who decided to follow line by line the instructions of her mother-in-law so as to fulfill, are you getting what I'm saying? The ordinance put in place by God. That was why Boaz was knocked out. I'm going somewhere. No, I was saying earlier, we read Proverbs chapter 37. And I kept on emphasizing that Christians don't do what they do because of what they are going to get. You know, I've been emphasizing it again and again. That we practice godliness with contentment. If you go back there, I said that God will establish your righteousness. Let me describe the word righteousness again. Righteousness simply means to do what is right. Righteousness is relative. When I say relative now, we must first put the point down before we know whether we are right or we are wrong. Are you getting my point? There must be a reference point. And when it comes to righteousness in this context, righteousness is the word of God and the ordinance in Israel. Are you getting what I'm saying? Therefore, was Ruth righteous? The answer is yes, because she followed that ordinance. No matter how funky another widow her age will have been, no matter the kind of good husband that one will have gotten, younger, finer, more prosperous than Boaz, but the fact that that one did not go after preserving the name of that family made her unrighteous. Righteousness is not how you feel. It's not how popular what you are doing is. It's how in tune, in line with God's order That thing is. That's what makes something righteous or otherwise. Remember the story I tell all the time? Those days when banking was booming in Nigeria, you know, bank. The other day I went to Intercontinental Bank. The big branch here. Now Access. I've been standing for a while, one guy trying to help me to do something, and after 5 days, it had not been done. That was after 2 weeks of going the first time. You get my point? So not 2 weeks and 5 days. I took a scan of the tables. There were 9 tables. 7 were empty. Only 2 were occupied. That's a recent thing. The opposite happened at a time. That was in the mid-90s into the late 90s. The banks were opening every day. But I know one big man. He got angry at one bank where he had his money. When they refused to make him a director, he collected his money and opened Guardian Express. Then banks, they open a lot. So the easy way, all right, to get promotion in a bank, if you wanted to go to a new bank, they check your last pay and your last rank. If you're an assistant manager, they made you a deputy manager. If you're a deputy manager, they made you a manager. If you're a manager, you were made a senior manager. If you're a senior manager, they made you a very senior manager. You know, you went to things like AGM. You know, boys, you all see boys. No, I was in Lagos that time. No. Boys would all come out with their sharp suit. Hey, sharp suit like this. Fine, brand new motor cars. You see one of your guys. Well, how now? Say, I'm not an AGM. Oh, yeah, you. AGM. How you take Duam? You know, 2 years ago, I was here. After 6 months, that's how they used to move up and down. And I said to them that this is unfaithfulness. That's where I'm going. I said, the Bible says, dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. I said, this is unfaithfulness. I'm sure you understand already now. I don't care how well or how rapidly you were promoted. We Christians don't look at things like that. We look straight at the word of God. Christians must be dependable. And the fruit of the Spirit is faith. That word faith, pistis, is also the same word used for faithfulness. Dependability is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Christians must be dependable. We're not talking about what you will get. I don't even want to start analyzing what happened and what did not happen. How the banks began to use FIFO and FILO, you know? First in, first out. Or is it last in, LIFO? Yes. Last in, first out, yes. I don't want to talk about that. The point is that a bad thing is what? A bad thing. And the other ones used to encourage it. If you move to bank ABC and you were in bank XYZ, ABC paid you enough money to buy your deliverance from the former place. Footballers do it also. You sign a contract here, then you go for World Cup. You become popular. Europeans want you. You kill that contract. You refuse that. Either they let you go on. Listen, we are Christians, so our own lives are spiritual. There's a man that swears to his heart and does not change. That is the one that approaches the mountain of God. Please, I'm raising an issue. In Ruth's case, what happened? She did not know how to plot her life. In fact, let me just go back to where we were. Psalm 37. She didn't have understanding of all the machinations that men make to try and get forward in life. In her life, Psalm 37 was just simply illustrated. It said, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. I said I'm going to talk about wait. I told you to please remind me to talk about wait. What does it mean to wait? And what does it mean to wait patiently? You've heard me teach this many times. We have about 2 messages on it. How to wait for God. Please go and listen to the message, how to wait for God. I'm going to preach a few minutes of it now. Waiting for Christians is not sit down, do nothing. Patience is not hanging out, doing nothing. That's not what patience is. Let me talk about patience. Patience is a dogged determination to continue doing what is right, whether I get results or I don't. That's what patience is. If this is right, I continue doing it. Are you getting my point? What is weight? Weight is simple. I don't make a personal effort striving by myself to leave my current position, but I recognize the assignment I have been given for this season, and I actively pursue that assignment until the seasons change by themselves. I was counseling with a sister, one of us here, the other day. Pastor, what do I do now? I wanted to do this. After many things, I said, listen to this. Let life lead you. I don't know whether I get my point. I said, look, you have reached the point. You don't have to think anymore. Events in life have been set in motion. Let it lead you. Let it lead you. What do I mean? For example, you're a student. You are in school. What do? You read. That is called patient waiting. It's not that I won't go to lecture. I sit in the hostel. Waiting is this. I'm a student now. The assignment of a student is go to class, read your book, pass your exams. Do the best that you can. A time will come that you will graduate. In Nigeria of today, the automatic next thing, unless you have to go for a maybe like a one-year attachment, like if you're a doctor, a pharmacist, a medical lab scientist, a lawyer, I don't know what that lawyer is. Yeah, lawyer. A number of people will have to do something for the first 1 year. Everybody else goes immediately for NYSC. A patiently waiting person just goes for NYSC. Are you getting my point? If you are supposed to go for an internship, an attachment, that's it. Just go and do it. The person is waiting. Christian waiting is not joblessness. No, I say it all the time. There's nothing like I don't have a job. There's nothing like it. There is something you can do to bless somebody. Go and actively pursue that one. Are you getting what I'm saying? Let me say this to you again. I said it last time. You cannot think well enough. Listen, you cannot compare with all your good thoughts for yourself. You cannot compare with what God has planned for you. That is a matter of fact. That is a matter of life. And that is truth of life. You can't. Next point. How you will get to that place that God planned for you? Do you know you don't know? You don't know. Well, it's only where you can only imagine the one that you know. I mean, if you know where you are going, you can try and attempt to know how to get there. What about when you don't even know where you are going? I said to you last time, your life is planned by God. I said what? Said my life is planned or has been planned by my Father God. That is a matter of fact. And God doesn't give you all the details of your life. In fact, he doesn't talk much with anybody. You know what he does? He just puts you in a place and he says, like we say all the time from the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, occupy with this until I come. Listen. If God says, stay here, when he wants to come, that's where he's going to go. If he doesn't find you there, that's your problem. Did you hear what I said? If God says, stay here, when he's coming back, that's where he will go. If he doesn't find you there, listen, that is your problem. Many people are struggling in life because when God came, they were not in the place he said they should be. You say, Pastor Banky, how do I know where I'm supposed to be? Again, no, Christianity is very, very simple. What God does is this. If he puts in a place, he closes every legitimate exit. You can't get out unless you break a door. You can't get out unless you break a window. You can't get out unless you scale a fence. Did you hear what I said? That is, where I am, did I live where I was supposed to be? Ask yourself, how did I live? I don't know what I hear what I said. That is, if I left legitimately, without any pressure, without breaking any rule, I couldn't have walked out of the will of God. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? Let me give you an example, very practical. This is a horrible example, but practical example. Assuming you are working in an office, you're handling cash, plenty of cash. You're an honest person. But in your whole life, you have believed that you're supposed to leave Enugu and go to America. You now win visa lottery or something, you know? But it now needs 250,000 naira to process everything. And that cash you don't have. Nobody will lend it to you. Nobody will dash it to you. You don't even know anybody that rich, anyway, to even be talking about it. All the people you know, the only money they can part with is 5,000. And by the time you go around, how many people to get 250,000? In fact, you are not even going to think about it. The only way to quickly go is to take the cash that's been entrusted into your hands, use it, and disappear. And then lie to yourself that I will pay them back when I come back. Are you seeing that? How did God fence you in? It's simple. I put you here. Yeah, the visa came, but you don't have the money. And I won't supply the money. I don't know what I hear what I said. If you steal your gas money, get to America, then you now call him that I'm so sorry, sir. It's just that a door opened and you know the way it is. You can understand. You're a Nigerian too. Are you getting my point? You start selling. So let's make a long story short, young man. Therefore, you stole my money that I entrusted in your hands because of this visa. You should know that visa is not the will of God. You have with it walked out of the will of God. You know, I'm tired of Christians going to pray. Toyota, Toyota, Toyota. Suzuki, Suzuki, Suzuki. Is it your will for me to go? Louder, louder. What God often does is to fence you in with the simple knowledge of what? Right and wrong. I was telling just now about the story of Zane. What is it, Zane now? Or Zane and Airtel and whatever they have been along the line. And Econet Wireless International. What did the judge say? The story of whether we should sell or not sell is besides the point. The issue is that these guys had the right of first refusal. People said that, okay, no. We are canceling their shares. The judge said, I'm sorry. The board of directors doesn't have the right to, by itself, cancel the shares of somebody who owns the certificate. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? The question of, should we sell or not sell, is besides the point. The law is clear, according to the judge, are you getting what I'm saying? That this is the law. You should offer these guys the right of first refusal. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? So the question of how do I know this is a place, whether I walk out of the will of God, it is simple. How did you walk out? There are people I say sometimes, you may say, like, maybe your boss annoyed you, and while he's talking, you walk out. You just walked out of the will of God. They said to you simply, you wrote it, it's written down, black and white. If you are leaving, you will give us 1 month's notice or 2 months' notice, or pay us back 1 month's salary in lieu of notice. If you don't do that, you walked out of the will of God. You don't need the Spirit to tell you. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? I need to emphasize something today. All right, that's my message for today about the life of Ruth. We saw what Ruth did. What she did was to just simply, in simple terms, go and offer herself to Boaz. And Boaz immediately understood why. That this is what this woman is doing. And you see, when she had the child, what happened? They took the child to Naomi. That Naomi might nurse the child. The point is this. They understood what this woman was doing. Of course, you know, she did not come personally to try and arrange anything for herself. It was Naomi that observed what God was starting. And said, listen, this is actually in line with the word of God. All those open doors that contradict everything that God has said, be careful about them. I've heard people say things to me like, I said, okay, why are you doing this? I said, the way it came. I said, what do you mean by the way it came? Like, it was so simple. It was so. Assuming I'm a young woman, I'm believing God for a husband. And as I just finished praying, I just stepped out of my house. And one guy just stopped in his car. Hello, excuse me. I am looking for. Let's make the long story short. We became friends. 3 weeks later, he's asking me to marry him. And now find out he's not a Christian. I'm in love with him. Like I wrote in, should I say yes? It's called what? Falling. You can fall. And why they call it falling is that it's a mistake. You tripped, and even children get up after falling down. So all this falling thing is madness. You get my point? If you fell, get up. I'm so happy the word has described it well. They call it falling in love. It was a mistake. The Taiwan, when those days in the St. Gregory's Catholic Church in Ikare, the grass outside was quite tall. So we used to do some mischief. We tie the grass. So people would just be walking. And we were victims also. So once they don't cut the grass, well, boys just go there, tie the thing. We learn to walk. I mean, anybody that fell down, got up again. What am I going to say? So pastor come and say, why you married this young man? Why do you want to marry him? Ah, sir, the way it came. It was the morning after that fast. You know, you were the one that declared the fasting. No? The fasting thou givest me. You know that kind of thing. It's not my fault, it's you. Pastor, you started the fasting. Now God has opened the door as a result of your prayer. That day, I just finished him. I just came out. And the moment I saw him, there was a glory about his car. You don't know, the guy just came from car wash. And the sun was shining. That's why the car was... it had glory on it like that. God said, look, all these stories, forget all of these stories. After 3 weeks, I showed you that he's not a Christian. Do you get my point? No matter the testimony, I showed you he's not a Christian. And I said to you clearly, be not unequally yoked with an unbeliever. That is, listen, if the guy is not a believer, he's not a believer. Forget all this story of how he came. But I dreamt. After all, you know, we've discussed it here before. Dreams have all kinds of origins. The Bible says there are people who go to sleep hungry, so they dream of food. That's it. When I was a child, I so badly wanted to drive. I was happy the day I dreamt of driving. So forget the dream. With all of that, it's clear this is against the will of God. That's what I'm trying to explain. You see what happened here in the life of Ruth. When God arranged it, Naomi saw it and said, he's actually one of our close relatives. He's a redeemer. I think we should take advantage of that. So this is what we are going to do. Again, you see that man, Boaz, he understood order. When he saw the woman, he said, God, what you have done is so honorable, better than what you even did earlier. But my young lady, I'm sorry, there is a redeemer closer than me. Let us see whether he will do his duties. If he doesn't do it, then I will do it. You know what I'm emphasizing all of these things? Psalm 37. He said, dwell in the land, cultivate faithfulness. That's what I'm trying to explain. He said, trust in the Lord and do good. Verse 3. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Let me say something to you. Anything you want to become in life, please ask God for it. And then day by day, cultivate what? Faithfulness. Everything he gives you to do. Listen. Once my mother and I were talking, you know, I've referred to it a number of times. He said, you know, your mates are building houses. I said to her, how many of them are teaching the way of success? I said, by the way, the first to build does not always build the finest. Neither does he build the biggest. Let me add more words to it. Neither does he build the most comfortable. Neither does he enjoy it more. Do you get the point I'm making? I said to her simply, listen, I have an assignment for now. I'm going somewhere. Anything, you see, I've asked the Lord for 2 houses in this life. 2. Just 2. When I say the one that will call my own. 2 stages. 1, like the one I'm living in right now. That one is not my own, but it's a fulfillment of prophecy also. You shall live in houses you did not build. All right? Somebody built it. I'm living in it. It's not the word of God. It is the word of God. So, but you pay rent. Yes, you should appreciate people who are good to you. Amen? You know, listen. It's still the word of God. No, I'm serious. It's still the word of God. All right? That is 1. Then the second one is the one from which I'll move from this kind of house into that one. And I prayed for it years ago. And I told you, the Bible said, ask in faith. To ask in faith doesn't just, there are different sides to it. There is asking in faith in saying that, God, you will do it. Amen? But there's asking in faith knowing that that's what you really want. Not being tossed to and fro by everything, every time something changes. For more than 10, 15 years, I have not been able to change my mind on it. I like to live on a farm. Yes. Plenty land, few houses, plenty trees. You get my point? All this living in concrete jungle is not my thing. Amen? Fence yourself with high barbed wire fence. God will solve security problems so I can live in the kind of open space that I want. So, Pastor, what are you doing about it? I want nothing. 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 Absolutely nothing. Physically speaking. I prayed about it long ago, and I know the Lord has arranged it. Listen, let me tell you something. I said to you earlier that, listen, that God knows where he's taking you to. And he's like Ruth, leading you to the field of Boaz. But sometimes you will get into the field of Boaz gleaning. You know what a gleaning is? A gleaner, somebody who is poor, only comes to collect that which is rejected. I don't know whether I get what I'm saying. Yet, that was how Ruth entered into the field of Boaz. I said, listen to me earlier. This is what I wanted to say. Many of the attempts we make in life to take ourselves to the place we want to get to, they are actually the steps that take us out of there. Let me explain what I'm saying. If Ruth has said, I'm too big to glean, you know what would have meant? She would have been too big to meet Boaz. And for information, many Ruths existed those days. But you don't know about them because their stories were not written. God doesn't write all kinds of stories. He writes the one you are supposed to learn from. And once he writes this one, he says, turn it upside down, and that is what you must not be. Are you getting my point? There were many Ruths like that because of the field of Boaz. Glean now. My manicure will spoil you. This kind of gleaning thing, self. I beg, I can't glean. I can't glean. Some of them can't glean. They rather go and beg. Do you get my point? What is the point? The summary of it is that's how they end up not meeting Boaz. That's how they end up not meeting the plan that God had for their lives. Listen, as Christians, I want you to understand something. I've said it so many times. Whatever you want in life, you ask the Lord for it. Please don't forget God planned your life. He's taking you somewhere far beyond what you can ever imagine. He leads you into it on a daily basis by the opportunities he gives you. And he doesn't have to whisper. I've told you again, you know, I was teaching the other time about the spirit of Delilah. How Delilah comes to into everybody's life. And that Samson fell for Delilah. Not because of Delilah, but because he lost his strength before Delilah came. Are you getting my point? That is, this is what Christianity is also. It is not as if we keep on trying to watch out, where is Delilah? Where is Delilah? We just retain our strength. When we get to strange places, we don't see strange women. Are you getting my point? The day Delilah will come, you will reject her without even knowing that was Delilah that was going to destroy you. Let's turn it around. That's the way it is on the other side also. Listen, every day, the thing that will take you into eternal destiny that God plotted for you, they won't come out big. I am the plan of God for your life. Listen, Christians have prayed too much with too much. Lord, speak. It doesn't work most of the time like that. If he chooses to reveal his will that way, are you getting my point? We accept it. But most of the time, it doesn't work like that. You know what he does? Shortly, like I was talking about Samson. Samson was losing his strength little by little. In the same manner, what God is doing is that every day gives an opportunity. Small, but you don't realize it's leading you towards the field of Boaz. It's leading you towards the place where God planned for you long ago. But you don't see the big picture. God said, I don't want you to see it. Just every day, cultivate what? Faithfulness. Do what is right for the sake of the fact that it is what? It's right. Again, let me say it. Cut away this tying everything you do with the result it will get. Cut it up. It is not necessary. Do things because they are right. And listen to me, that is how he's leading you to the place where you are supposed to be. Listen, Christianity, this is what it means. God planned my future. And faith just means I have to accept that. And I have to accept that he's leading me towards that future on a daily basis. Please, Forget this thing of, I want to pray, God, what is your will? Paul said it like this. This is the will of God concerning you, your sanctification. That is, in everything that you do, do it the sanctified way. Are you getting what I'm not explaining? Are you getting what I'm explaining? Listen, what blessed Ruth was not the depths of the knowledge she had. What blessed Ruth, that is concerning her future, what blessed Ruth was that she had left it totally in the... Listen to this. This just connected in my head again. She left it totally in the hands of Naomi. Which, if you read that context, that was a physical manifestation of her God. Please, do you understand that? Do you understand it? Naomi was not God, but she was the representation of God in the life of Ruth. Ruth did not know what Israel was like. She knew nobody there. She did not understand their culture, their custom, nothing. Naomi will say, we don't have food in the house. What shall we do? Ruth said, I don't know. Said, normally, this is what we do in Israel. Those who don't have, they go and follow the reapers. They are called gleaners. And Ruth says, no problem. Let me do it. He said, let me settle you. What shall we do? This is how we do it in Israel. Are you getting my point? She was just following the instructions given by, in quote, God, step by step, as given through the mouth of his prophetess, Naomi. Do you follow what I'm going to explain? In the same manner, that's how your life will reach the place that God wants you to be. God is giving you instructions on a daily basis. His word, like, my son, my daughter, this is what is right to do. This is what is not right to do. As a child of mine, you don't behave like this. And listen, I said temptations are tempting. Life will try to make you behave otherwise. There are times your friends will look at you and say, this guy, I don't know what is wrong with you, self. I've had friends tell me that. I've had friends report friends to me. I don't know what's wrong with our friend. And when you talk to the friend, he obviously knows what he's doing. But what he's doing is not producing, you know what I mean? Everybody's making a million every other week. The guy says he has this vision. Let me just end with this. Until you are convinced, you know, this is a good way to say it. This is a very good way to say it. In that book, should I say yes, I explained the principle there. If a man says, God says, said to me, you should marry me. What should I tell him? I said, tell him nothing. Until you are persuaded, don't say anything. I've had women ask me before, maybe a man is, you know, on their case. You know, women, after a while, will get impatient. You have been praying for the last 6 months. Which level of prayer are you? Are you still in thanksgiving and praise? Or have you entered into petitions and intercessions? Please read the second side of thanksgiving and come and let me hear my answer. So I've heard women tell you, so what do I say? I said nothing. Why should I say nothing? Because you don't know what to say. If you have to come and ask me, what does that tell you? You don't know what to say. But he's getting impatient. Tell him that Pastor Banky said, I can't say anything until I know what to say. And if you are impatient, then your impatience is my answer. I don't know whether you get my point. Go. What am I saying? Until I'm persuaded, I am not yet persuaded. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Please, I hope you understand what I'm saying. Until I am persuaded, I am not yet persuaded. What am I saying? If your friends put pressure on you to do something, until you are personally persuaded, don't do it. If Pastor Banky preaches to you hard to do something, until the conviction of the Spirit enters into you, don't do it. If life puts pressure on you, leave that job, go somewhere else, leave Enugu, go to Lagos, leave Lagos, come to Enugu, leave Abuja, come to Port Harcourt. Listen, until you can sit down at home at night without the pressure and feel, this is what I should do, please don't do it. Because many times when life is pushing us like that, you know what it's doing to us? It's telling us, get out of Boaz's field. Get out of the place of destiny. Get out. And when God comes, if he doesn't find you in Boaz's field, Boaz will not marry you if your name is Ruth.